6 months of being at Bridletown today, this morning. And I guess we should applaud you. No, not me. You, for putting up with me for the past 6 months. Yeah. It feels like, like a day almost sometimes. It's just like, it's passed so fast. It has passed so fast. Anyway, let's focus on the Word. As Elaine prayed, and as Steve has mentioned, it's an important message. It's called Crossroads. And it's about choices. You know, when you think of crossroads, it's where you choose which way you need to go. And, just to correct, improve Steve's thoughts in the beginning, we don't get lost. Men don't get lost. Men just take the scenic route more often. Or what we call it in Europe, we do the UK, useless kilometers. I've been in trips with my wife and kids when I chose left instead of right, and half an hour down the road, we thought, this doesn't look right. Anyway, choices. It's how easy or hard is for you to make a choice? For some, it's easy. We just know what we want, what we need, or it's what's right, and we choose. Others tend to take a lot more time to make a decision, And others say, I don't have a choice. Ever heard a phrase, I didn't have a choice? Who heard this phrase or used this phrase, I didn't have a choice? I'll come back to that later because I have a thought about that. My wife might remember that. But anyway, our topic today is about roads. And I found this quote. It's a tweet from Bill Murray, the famous Ghostbuster. Might be other movies, but that's all I know about him. And he wrote in this tweet, in this thingy on the internet, the fact that there's a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven says a lot about anticipated foot traffic, or traffic numbers, sorry, a message in 2016. And it's about choices sometimes, and the most important choice we have before us is choosing God or not. Or choosing something else, We are at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. We are just this Sunday, two more, and we'll be done with this passage. And we heard a lot, principles and values, what you should think or be or do, or what you shouldn't do or shouldn't, all those things that we heard in the sermon are great principles for value. For life, great values for life. But the question is not did. The question is not, did you hear them? The question is, what is your choice? Or what the old English used to say, what say you? And the intent of that phrase was, what will you decide based on what you have heard? And it's for me and for us all. It's a choice. And the theme of the choice is great in what Jesus wrote. Said to the disciples in those days. Choose a path, choose a fruit, choose a foundation, choose whom to follow, choose whom to please. So many times Christ calls us to choose, And today we're asking God to speak to us from this passage. And I'll read and I'll pray shortly afterwards. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Father, we come before you with an open heart this morning to ask you to speak to us and to give us the strength and the will to decide. We know that you work in us, but we pray this morning that you work in a special way that help us to decide, or to choose actually wisely, and to choose you, Lord. Amen. One observation before we start, it's... Well, you'll hear this word a lot today, choice. And I found this, I remember reading a couple of books to prepare for the messages, and one of them by John Stott had used these words, and I really found them very absolute, if I can say this. This author, John Stott, writes about the absolute choice, or he says, actually, the inescapable choice. And in our lives, we think that we have many things to choose. You go to... I would say NBC, but it's not BC. I'd say Elim Lodge. You go to Elim Lodge and you go to the food shop, what do you call it, that cabin, and there's ice cream. Snack shop. Snackery. Okay. Yeah, that one. And you choose, you know, have all these ice cream flavors, and which one do you choose? Have like, I'm not sure how many I have there, but, you know, it's hard to choose. Not for me. Vanilla. I know what I vanilla is like the base. I mean, my wife would know. It's not even a question. Or European being, I choose rum and raisin. But I'm like the only few guys in Canada that likes rum and raisin ice cream. Anyway, but it's not that many choices when it comes to what God has for us. Actually, it's very simple. It's only two choices, only two options. Either God or something else. It's never this, 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 and this. No, it's either God or something else. In the words of Moses, choose life or choose death. Deuteronomy 30, 15, I mean that 15 to 19, we'll probably go to that later. You know, there's no room for what I call syncretism. A bit of this, a bit of that, a bit of that, mashed together to do something that's good for us. It's pleasing unto us. Who, I would say, in my own manner, who cares what's good for us? You know? My question is, what is pleasing God? What of my choices pleases God? And just to clarify, and not to have some of you, you know, wander off within your minds, I tend to do that, so I'm warning myself and you. It's not just to choose Christ on the day of your salvation. I don't know all of you. And even those I know, I don't know where you are with God. If you made that choice to follow Christ with all your heart, to surrender to Him and to say, Lord, you are my King, my Lord, and my Savior. I don't know if you made that choice. It's easy. Just pray and say, God, I'm tired and sick of my old life. Please give me the new life. That's it. That's for some. For others is to choose to carry that daily cross. Every day to wake up and say, I choose today to follow Christ. That's a song, I think. Sounds like a song in my mind. It's about a choice, a daily choice to follow Him and to put you on the lower scale. To say, may He increase, may I decrease. To love your brother. And I have, sorry for changing the words a bit. To love your brother more than you love yourself. Or let's say, in words of Paul, to put the other above you. To put the interest of others above your own interests. That's what Paul says. You know, it's a choice. So God is calling us today and next Sunday and next Sunday to think about what do we choose. Okay. And, I was actually supposed to show you this. See, I said before you today, life and prosperity, death and destruction. Two choices, not many, just two choices. I forgot to click on that one. First choice, and you can, if you take notes, you can write number one of four. Choose a road. You know, it says there, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. So there are two roads mentioned here, a wide or broad or easy or spacious. You know, this word has many, many translations. You know, I'm not sure what translation you use. I use a mix of NIV and ESV, but it doesn't matter what translation is. Chinese could be, or French, or I don't care. It's many words. It's broad, wide, spacious, and some call it easy. We'll call it the highway. You know, you can choose the highway because there are no limits there. Not like in Canada. You know, I was driving down, coming to church this morning. I thought, I miss Romanian highways when 130 is the speed limit, you know, and can go 140, you know. It's the guy in me, the boy in me wants that. Or the highways in Germany where the sky's the limit. You know, my little Honda, my Honda Fit, I had one like that in Romania, and the previous owner told me he would ride to the army base he was stationed at on highway in Germany with usually 160, I mean, that will be in miles, be 100 and 105 miles an hour with that little thing, you know. That's highways. You know, no limits, no barriers, lax and permissive, no boundaries of thought or conduct. Think about the world in which we live and about this phrase, no boundaries of thought or conduct. You know, that's where we live today. People have chosen liberty or freedom, and they cast away all the barriers. And now it comes back and bites them. I mean, they see the reverse of that choice when now, for example, women said, we want freedom, and that's great. Women need freedom, equality, I'm all for it. But they also asked for sexual freedom. And now when the guy said, oh, we'd like that thought, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, guys said, we're all for it. But now women see, guys don't want to marry anymore, because why would you buy the cow when you have all the milk you want, you know? Now guys abuse women. Not that it was not abused in the past, but it happens more today because you said you want it. I mean, and so, I mean, we can speak about, but people said there's no more barriers for thought and conduct, and that's not the life to live, to be honest. You know, do whatever you want. That's the mantra of today. Do whatever feels good, whatever makes you feel good, and do only what makes you feel good. Sounds familiar? That's a wide, wide road. My boss back in Romania for many years, 7 years, former U.S. Master Sergeant, and he made me read two books the day I got hired at the company to do translation. And one of them was actually an essay from insurance salesman back in the States in the 20s. And he wrote this. I just remember the zest of it. Failures do what they like. Successful people do what it needs to be done. You know, it's an old essay. I probably can find it if I Google it. But it speaks about, you know, we choose today to do what it feels good and what we like. And that's it. But that broad road doesn't have a good ending. You can choose the other road. You know, you can choose the road that says there are limits. You know, William Barclay, a Christian author with whom I often don't agree, but he said this: greatness is always the result of toil. Greatness is always the result of toil, of effort, of hard work. Toil, for those who don't understand the word. It's, you know, the word, this path, this road is narrow, or it's hard, because there are boundaries, clear and narrow, because of what we call divine revelation. God spoke. And we chose to put that word as boundary to what we want to do or think, you know, to our lives. You know, there's a boundary. And C.S. Lewis describes in his autobiography, which I have not read, I've read people who read that book, how a schoolboy, when he was 13, he began to broaden his mind. Ever heard that expression? Broaden my mind. Well, that was, he wrote like this. I was soon altering, I believe, to I feel. And all the relief of it, from the tyrannous noon of revelation, I passed into the cool evening twilight of higher thought, where there was nothing to be obeyed and nothing to be believed except what was either comforting or exciting. That was C.S. Lewis before he became a Christian. He chose to broaden his mind, and he cast away all the limitations, all the boundaries of the gospel, of the word of God. You know, because the revealed truth of God brings narrowness or limitations, or defines for us what is good, what is proper, what we should do, how we should behave, or even how we should, we ought to believe. Our beliefs are guided by the word of God, not by what we think or by experience or what the news or the media. It's the word of God who dictates what we believe. That's why we read the word and read the word and read the word, because this is how we learn God's mind and we appropriate God's mind. And God's way is truly confining and narrow. It doesn't leave us room for our selfishness, our egotism, our desire to be, you know, to just put ourselves on the throne if you want. You know, and it has a, it's a road that has trials. It's not a problemless road. But in that confinement, it's exactly where you find peace and joy and hope, because you're not alone. You follow the wisest being that ever has been, you know. I was about to say in the universe, but he made the universe, so he's outside the universe. And we follow him, and he gives us peace and joy and hope and a reason to live. And he sets us straight on this path, and we do not stray left or right because of who he is. And you know, you may think it's a heavy burden. You know, good news. Matthew 11:29-30. Jesus defines our burden to be an easy yoke and a light burden because he helps us carry them. You know, in the end, like on the screen, it's a choice for Jesus because he is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. John 14:6. You know, choose him. Choose the right way. Secondly, there's a gate. You know, and I was reading and I thought, okay, gate. You know, flying back and forth over the ocean, I've been through a lot of gates. You know, and you know that at some gates you have to leave behind luggage or content. I have to surrender a brand new shampoo once because I forgot to put in the, you know, the big bag downstairs. And there's one gate that's wide, and you can take anything you want through that. You have to change nothing and leave nothing behind. Everything is accepted. Your pride, your selfishness, your self-righteousness, your sins, take them all. You know, they can go with you, and no one will say nothing because they also want to have their own stuff with them through the gate. It's a wide gate. Everything goes, you know, no limitations. You know, when we fly over the ocean, we go online and check not just the prices, but what's the luggage limitations, you know. And for your knowledge, if you want to fly, British Air every company has the same weight, you know. British Air, though, I'm not getting any money from them, I'm not advertising, they don't put limits the length of your baggage. So you can take big bags, you know, hockey bags, you know, on British Air. The other guys just say there has to be only this many inches. Anyway, there's a small gate too. But because it's small, you cannot take everything with you through that gate. You know, it's so small that you actually have to look for it. You won't just bump into it or just gonna happen to go through that gate. Oh, I'm there. I'm on the other side. No, you have to look for it. And it's so small, and you have to leave everything behind except one thing, the cross of Christ. That's the only thing you can take with you. And you need to deny yourself. And that's hard. To not be selfish anymore, that's hard. Look, as a guy, as a husband, as a father, you'll learn to not be selfish or you don't have a good marriage. You know, you just have to learn to not be selfish. You know, if you come on Sunday nights, I'm sure probably next Sunday, it's the episode about the impact of sin upon our marriages. And don't think, oh, I'm a good guy or a good girl, I don't sin. No. Think deep. Are you or are you not a selfish person by nature? Don't answer me today, but think about that. Anyway, you have to deny yourself. You have to leave all your sins and burdens to him, and he will take them. And finally, when you leave everything behind, that's when you realize all you need is him anyway. Nothing else and nothing beyond, just him. If you have that, you have everything. You can be in jail tomorrow. I hope you're not, okay? But you could be in jail tomorrow, broke, with no family. But as a Christian, you have everything you need when you have Christ. Because if you think selfishly, you think, I want a good life here. I want clothes and cars and houses here. I want stuff here. But how much will this here last for? compared to the eternity? How much? Not much, I can tell you that. So it's easy to choose when you know that this is only temporary and you build now something for the future, for that day when we'll be with him, you know. So choose Jesus. He is, after all, the gate. John 10:9 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Choose a road. I hope you choose the one that Jesus brings before you. Choose a gate, the one that leads to Christ, the one that is Christ. And now, choose a destination. And I was like, should I say this out loud, or should I just let them do, you know, kind of like think about it? No, you know what? I'm going to say it. Because it's not the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of roads and crossroads and stuff, but in the end, you have to think about this, because why do you get on the road? Some guys like to drive, so they get on the road with no destination, just drive and enjoy their car and enjoy the ride and the air, you know, wind in their hair, if they have any hair. You know, they enjoy that experience. But we are on this road because we want to get somewhere. So destination is important. Where the road leads is important. Where the gate opens to is important. And let's see what the Bible says about that destination. Because in the end, the road is only a means to a goal. And the road will end one day, and you will have arrived at your destination. You can choose the broad way and the wide gate, but be aware of what it says. You know, read the fine print. I hope you can see the fine print. Okay, I can't see that. It's my choice of colors. From this, I cannot see there. I have to read my papers. Psalms 1:6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. It's in the Bible. Think of the choice of words that Moses put before Israel. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. And now Jesus says, that road, that gate, they lead to destruction. In Matthew 7:13. You know, that's a choice. And you have to know. I like myself. I like my ways. I like me. I like, you know, all that stuff. Okay, if you want to choose that, that's your choice. But in the end, know where that road leads. It's destruction. Selfishness is destructive now, but it's destructive forever too. Or you can choose the other part. You can choose the other destination, which is life. You know, it says, narrow is the road that leads to life. Matthew 7:14. And says, it's a road that where God is with you at all times. In Psalms, it says, oh boy, I have to read the screen. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Or, you know, I set before you today life and prosperity. That's how Moses started. I set before you life and prosperity. That's a choice. You can choose life. You can choose an abundant and blessed and prosperous life. And don't think money. I'm not promising you money here, okay? That prosperity could be financial, but it's not what God meant. It's an abundance of blessings, of joy, of friends, of people you love and they love you. It's that contentment of life that makes you enjoy, whether you are in Canada and have, you know, high-speed internet and highways and stuff, or you're in Moldova, and there is, like, the road is like one continuous pothole. And, you know, I had kids who came to camp with one T-shirt and one pair of shorts. I'm not talking about what's under the shorts, but they had just one T-shirt for the whole week. You know what? They were content. They were happy. They were blessed. They enjoyed life because they knew they had Christ. All that mattered to them. They had Christ and had a broken, you know, a busted football. I mean, like soccer ball, I meant. And they were just happy, you know? It's not about money. When money comes, it's great. Money is not bad. It's the love of money that's bad. But money is good. We can buy a building or build a building or pay the bills or pay, you know, a pastor to, you know, preach at you on Sunday mornings. Money is not bad. But that's not the prosperity God says. When you choose Christ, that abundant life which he promised is abundant in love and peace and hope. Choose your crowd. On one path, it says there are many on it. Okay? Because there are two groups of people. The one that it says there are many and the one that says few. Two crowds you can choose to hang out with. Two crowds you can choose to please. The many on the wide road. You know? Think about that. God's way is not the way of the majority. Many will reject God. That's a choice that you'll see around us every single day. The path of the many, the way of the many. It's all over us, all around ourselves. Many have chosen that. But there's the other road. There was a book out there, something called The Road Less Traveled. I have no idea what the book is about. I just know the name of the book. It's a narrow path with just a few people on it. And it's one I chose many years ago, and I called it in my, you know, movie geek mode. I call it The Fellowship of the Few. It's a few people, but it's a sweet fellowship with a mission, with a goal, with someone to watch over you. Yeah, it's less people on this road, but so much worth it to be on this path. You know, ask yourself this question. And this, I'm really, really, I want to be as strong as I can with this. Emphatic, I think, is the word in English. Whom will you choose to please? Whom are you trying to please with your choices? Ask yourself honestly. Whom are you trying to please with your choices? Is it God? Or your neighbor, or your mom, or your daughter, or your grandkids? Who are you trying to please? Is it God or the rest? Because somehow this is what you define if you're with a few or with the many. Whom are you trying to please? Because you cannot pursue God or God's way as long as you're trying your best to please people. You cannot pursue God and God's approval if you're trying to please others. And in the end, whose approval matters most? God's. You know, that's, to me, some of the saddest, not the only, but one of the saddest verses in the Bible is John 12. I think it's 42, 43, 44, when it says that many of the leaders of the synagogue believed in Jesus, but because they feared they'll be cast out from the synagogue, they did not testify about him. And it says there, because they loved men's approval more than God's approval. Sad. Anyway, whom are you trying to please? Choose the crowd. And I chose Christ. So many years ago, I chose Christ. My wife chose Christ. And we're trying to follow him. We're doing our, you know, putting all our lives and thoughts and energy into following Christ. And that's our choice, you know. There was one, this one bishop. You may have heard of his name, Athanasius. He made something that made him famous. In the 4th century, long, long, long time ago, after Constantine brought Christianity into legality, his sons and grandsons continued that path to make Christianity the religion of the empire. But there was one twist. In those days, there was one thought, one school of thought, one philosophy called Gnosticism, which denied that Jesus was God. And that current of thought, that belief, that heresy in the church was growing and growing and growing until it became so prevalent only one bishop out of hundreds of bishops of the church was a Orthodox believer. Everybody else was a Gnostic. The king, the emperor was a Gnostic. All the bishops were Gnostics. Only Athanasius was still believing that God is God and Christ is God. And the emperor came to him at the council and said, Athanasius, don't you see the whole world is against you? He responded with his famous response, if the whole world is against Athanasius, then Athanasius is against the whole world. You know, he stood his ground. And because of that one guy, the church eventually recovered from that heresy. Whom are you trying to please? Are you trying to keep your life by choices that please people, or you do not care about your life here because you love life with God more. You know, in the end, it's your choice. You know, think about it. Whom do I want to please? What road do I want to choose? How many people do I want around me? Which fellowship do I want around me? What kind of gate do I want to go through? It's your choice, you know. And you think it's hard? The decision, the choice is not hard. Moses put it this way. It's kind of small print, but if you want to open your Bible, see Deuteronomy 11 through 14. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so it may have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. You've heard. You've read the Bible. You know what God wants of you, of us, of me. And the choice is ours to obey him or not. Because in the end, it is our choice. You know? And one thing I said in the beginning, I will challenge you with, is that one phrase, I did not have a choice. I have chosen not to use that phrase ever again some time ago. Because, tell me this, you always have a choice. Problem is, we know the consequences of our choices and we don't like them. And because we don't like the consequences, we say, I didn't have a choice. You know? You always have a choice. You just have to choose to pay the price for the choices that are proper, right before God. And that's when we come and say, I didn't have a choice. Yes, you have. You know, I led a high school ministry for a couple of years, I think 3 years, in the early 2000s in Bucharest for a Baptist high school. And out of like 100 kids that would come to this, how was it, Saturday meetings, I think it was. I once asked them, how many of you cheat on your tests? I think of 100, I think 95 said that they cheat on their tests. And they said, we don't have a choice. I said, you do have a choice. You just don't like the choice. The choice is either learn, study, or get a grade you deserve. You just don't like those choices. You want to do your stuff. You want to have fun and hang out and do this and that, not study, but you want to get a good grade. So that you actually chose already to please yourself. You know, so you have a choice. You always have a choice about driving speed limit or speed limit-ish. It's a choice, you know, leaving early, you know, 10 minutes early to just not cross the, you know, that finable line, you know. It's a choice. It's always a choice. So I will challenge you. When you tell me I didn't have a choice, I'll come and ask you, really? Let's talk about it. So expect that from me next time you say, I didn't have a choice. Okay. The problem is, even with theology, sometimes we know we do stuff that's not right, and we'd rather change the theology instead of changing who we are or what we do. You know, I won't go that path because it's a long, windy path. So anyway, we'll stay on track. So, it's your choice. You have to choose to live righteously and to choose to conform to the... You have to choose to live righteously or to conform to this world around us. And you have a choice. And choosing God does have some consequences. I mean, some blessings, amazing blessings. But yes, there are hardships on the road. John 16:33. In the world, you will have... was the word? Tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. It's the package deal. Jesus is with us. Matthew 28:20. I will be with you until the end of the days. You know, Second Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be blessed. Who's correcting me now? I heard a word. I'm not sure who said it. So I'm saying again, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be blessed. Yeah, one lady here just spoke. No, it's not. It says in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You choose godliness, expect persecution. It's as simple as that. It's in the Bible. You know, I'm not sure what form it'll take. If you go to Europe, Eastern Europe, sometimes it's, you know, you go to a church, to a village, and you want to preach the gospel, and the priest comes with a bunch of drunk guys, and they beat you up, and they smash your windows at the car, and they slash your tires. It happened in Romania to my friends. They went to preach the gospel. They left the village with their slashed tires, broken windows, and, you know, beaten up. It happens today. I have no idea what happens in Canada. You may choose to stand for Christ and not get summer grants. You have to go work at McDonald's, not at Elim Lodge, because the government won't give you summer grants unless you say, I am pro this or pro that. It's a choice. You know, it's our choice. Anyway, one observation, my wife is always, not always, but sometimes, I give her my notes to read, you know, almost always, and she usually say great job or whatever. But this time she came with an observation which came from her perspective, and I chose to think about that because otherwise I would be not wise. Sometimes you feel lonely when you make these choices. Sometimes you feel lonely. You lose friends. You choose Christ, you lose friends. I may have said this before. When I chose Christ, my dad wanted to kill me. I had to leave home, leave away from my parents and see them once a week. But my dad wanted to kill me. He actually chased me through the house with a knife in his hand, and I had to run away from the house with blood on my head because he smacked me with a chair in my head. And yeah, you lose stuff when you choose Christ. I've lived it. You know, I'm not proud of it, but I lived through two church splits in Romania, and it hurts like crazy. And I was an active part in both those splits, in a sense that I've seen wrong, and I couldn't stand wrong. I just had to speak about it, and because I spoke about it, I was asked to leave. And you know what? The decision was easy. Leaving was bad, was hard. I cried, my wife knows, I cried a lot. Because I love church, you know. Church is my life. This is what I live for. I mean, it's God, obviously, but this is my ministry. I'm not a hired hand here. As a pastor, my whole heart is here. And when I chose to make a decision to stand up for something that led to a church split, it hurt like crazy. But you know what? It was the right choice. I made it without thinking of what am I losing by choosing this. I knew what I was losing, but I still made the choice, you know? Yes, it is a lonely road sometimes. But it's not. It says up there, you got him. He shares the yoke with you. I don't know the verses now, but I know that he shares, he knows when you hurt. And he, you know, I think there's a song, I think it's not in the Bible, it's in the song, I think, he wipes your tears off, you know, because he's with you. You know, you have your family, this family, to help you carry your burdens. You're not alone. It may feel lonely because you lose stuff, but you're not alone. You got peace, and you got joy, and you got hope, and you got love. You got all you need. As long as you choose what matters. You choose once when you choose Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, your Lord and Savior, your King and your Savior. And you choose daily when you choose to obey Him, to walk on His path with His limitations of the divine revelation of the Word of God, with His limitations on what you should do or say or think even. Limitations come because of God's word. You choose the crowd. And I chose the fellowship of the few, not the many, because I know what I stand for. And sometimes that makes me feel lonely, but I chose to be with the few, not with the many. Because I hate
I don't want to. It's obvious. Destruction or life? Which one would you choose? Destruction or life? I chose life. With everything that choice brought, you know. So, every Sunday you come to church, every time you open the Bible, whether it's your home, your fellowship, or Bible study, or, I don't know, we're reading the, you know, I was in the tram, but you guys don't use tram much here. You know, wherever you are, you hear the word of God, you always have a choice. And God is calling you, don't just listen. Choose to apply, choose to live, choose to change something in your life. My question for you today is practical. What is one choice that God wants you to do today? Today, not tomorrow, today. What is one thing you need to give up or take on or apply or not do anymore in your life today? I don't know. I know myself and I know what I need to do. How about you? What say you in the old English? It's a choice. But you know what? Like I said, it is not a long, lonely road. God is with us, and he loves us. But you know what? It's an easy but tough choice. It's a blessing, and it's trials. It's lonely, but in fellowship with a few. It's a choice. Don't ever think that the blessings, the temporary blessings of today, are worth trading the life of tomorrow. Anyway, I could say many things, but I'm going to stop here. Let's pray. Oops. Father, we come before you today, just blessed beyond belief by knowing how much you have done for us, how much you have made us, Lord, when you chose to make us your saints, your sons and daughters, your children, when you chose to bestow upon us so many rights as God's children. We have so many things that we receive because of you and through you. But still sometimes we look at what we don't have anymore. We kind of feel like we lack on something because we don't have what the others have. Father, I pray that you would quench this selfish desire in us that we want to be like the others. We want to be led like the others. We want to do what the others do. We want to get what the others get. And we forget that in this process we lose you. We lose everything that ever mattered anymore. So, Father, I pray today that you will open up our eyes and fill our hearts with your word so we can make the right choice every day. Once to receive you and to make you our King and our Lord and our Savior, but then every single day to follow you and to obey you and to abide in you. And I know it's not an easy choice because our flesh struggles and fights against that every single day. Our selfishness tries to come to the surface every single day. So we have to fight, Lord, every day. So we pray to you, Lord, that you give us the strength to do that fight through your Spirit, in your strength, with your weapons you have given us. I know that sometimes it feels lonely, but Father, help me to not ever forget that you are with me. And when you are with me, I have everything I've ever needed. Father, we choose your Son today as the way, as the life, and as the truth. And may that be our choice every day of our lives. Amen.